Yes, it's the 4th of July weekend. We are off tomorrow, so today we're all the bumper music coming back into the show will be patriotic because we're celebrating the 4th of July. Now, this is an interesting story for me. Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, I've known him for many years, served with him in the House of Representatives. But I'm also a big advocate of fracking in Pennsylvania, and I have been part of the Marcellus Shale Coalition's events many times. So I'm very conflicted over this report. Now, the grand jury report came out and said, let me quote this, corporate negligence contaminated Pennsylvania's water and air, and a state regulatory bureaucracy was unprepared as a watchdog for the industry. Giant fracking companies given a free pass by unprepared agencies. DEP said, no, wait a minute, there's a lot of inaccuracies, and I'm just wondering what the Marcellus Shale Coalition has to say about that. And so we invited Dave Spiegelmeyer from Marcellus Shale to be on the air with us. David, what do you think?
Hey, Frank, great to be with you today. And, you know, like you, we've watched the last dozen years, time and time and time again, modernizations being made to our regulatory framework for development. The Attorney General's report, not the grand jury's report, the Attorney General's report, as you said, is full of inaccuracies. It, you know, full of innuendo and misrepresentations. It totally overlooks, you know, the modern regulatory framework that exists in Pennsylvania. You know, we've had a national watchdog group called Stronger come in to look at DEP's oil and gas rules. They said that the program's well managed. It's meeting its program objectives. And, you know, last year, we drilled 677 wells in Pennsylvania. We had over 19,000 inspections. There's no industry, Frank, in this state that's under the kind of scrutiny that the shale industry's under. As you said, the DEP's come out, said that, back in May even, said that the report did a disservice to the citizens of the Commonwealth, and many aspects, quote, were factually and legally incorrect. And for the top law enforcement of our Commonwealth to continue in a public press conference when he knows the statements he made were legally inaccurate, I think it's alarming at best, and a failure of his duty to the citizens of our Commonwealth at its worst.
See, now, you know me, Dave, and we've had these conversations. I would be the first one to jump all over the companies if they weren't protecting the environment, but my experience is I have not seen that. However, I got to ask you, the companies that were named, have you corporately give them a swift kick?
Yeah, the companies the company's self-reported incidents, the ones that have been cited here have self-reported an incident, and now they're being punished for that. I understand that we have a high bar to reach, and yeah, we're about a 98% compliance rate in the state. We're not going to be happy till we hit 100%, Frank. And as you know, for the Attorney General to talk about, you know, using explosives on a well location, that never happens. That does not happen, and it's not permitted to happen. He also talked about frack chemical disclosure. He went on and on about the fact that we disclose chemical use. Back in 2012 with Act 13, again, a statute that passed in the legislature, he should be aware of the laws of the Commonwealth, but totally dismissed it. You know, we have full chemical disclosure under frackfocus.org that was part of Act 13, and there were 40 additional regulatory environmental enhancements made in Act 13. He talked about pipelines not being regulated. We actually passed Act 127 in 2011 that provided oversight for the PUC on pipelines. We did an emergency response statute, Act 9 in Pennsylvania, and I don't know if you've seen our letter that went back to the legislature, Frank. We went year after year after year since the shale play began a dozen years ago, talking about the regulatory enhancements that have been made in Pennsylvania to make sure this shale play is done correctly. And by the way, I know early on folks were really upset because it wasn't all Pennsylvanians. Well, today, we're 8 out of 10 people in this play are Pennsylvanians working to produce Pennsylvania's natural gas to heat our homes, cook our food, dry our clothes, but also produce the steel, the glass, the plastics, the chemicals, the fertilizers, the powdered metals, the pharmaceutical medications, and today, 1 in 3 electrons. I choose not to have some other country provide those services. Let's do it here in Pennsylvania. Let's do it here at home.
See, now my concern is, I mean, the COVID has, you know, hit the economy hard enough. Has this demoralized the industry up there? I mean, have we lost jobs because of the grand jury report, because of Josh Shapiro's report? I mean, what's the feedback from this?
I mean, it's a tone that's set by our leaders in Pennsylvania, and Svengali, we've got folks in leadership, and you know, I'll give the governor some credit here. We've certainly done battle on the tax issues with the governor, but he's pushed back on some of those that have said, let's just quit doing this in Pennsylvania. I think he realizes that, you know, we need to produce our minerals and we need to produce them in a responsible fashion. I mean, we're now, he's the third governor that's been active. We started the shale play under Governor Rendell. I think his secretary talked about how we had some of the top regulations in the country, and that was John Hanger then. And then, you know, under Tom Corbett, we made a major change in the regulatory framework for development under his secretary, a DEP Mike Krantzer. And now Pat McDonnell under the Wolf administration, I think he's done a good job of making sure that the regulations are in place, they're being properly administered, and they're being properly inspected broadly across the Commonwealth. Back to your question, have we lost jobs? There's a multitude of reasons why there's been some tightness in this play, Frank, primarily driven by the price of natural gas, but the tone being sent by an attorney general is a tone that's being driven by a national political machine that wants to eliminate hydraulic fracturing in exchange, they say, for renewables. But Frank, renewables really don't work without baseload power. You got to be able to back up wind, you got to be able to back up solar, and there's no better choice for that than natural gas. Natural gas comes on quickly and comes on cleanly.
See, now Dave, you got to forgive me, I'm a skeptic, and I see politics and lots of things, and I know Josh Shapiro would like to be governor, and everybody wants to talk about new taxes on Marcellus, and I'm just wondering if this is just, you know, going to be used to come back and say, you guys are evil and wicked, we need to come up with a new tax to slap on you.
I think that's a given. I mean, he's wanted a tax since he served in the General Assembly years ago. So, you know, the problem with the tax that is being proposed, it's a tax on top of a tax. And if you look back to 2012, when the statute passed, on page 36 of House Bill 1950, it actually says that if a severance tax passes at some future date, at midnight that day, the impact fee goes away. Well, we're now pretty much addicted to that revenue, both in local governments, at county governments, and state, you know, programs are all addicted to that revenue. So the proposals today, Frank, would pancake one tax on top of another and render the investments being made here in Pennsylvania uncompetitive with everywhere else in the country.
Well, Dave, I know what you guys do. I know you're watchdogs for the industry, and I appreciate what you do. You have a safe and a good 4th of July. Make sure you wear your mask.
Yeah, thanks, pal. Always appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks, Frank, and have a nice 4th.
You too. 17 minutes before 4 o'clock. We'll get back to the mask.